Tonight's gospel meeting takes the form of a farewell service for Simon Anderson. Simon, it's good to have you tonight. Your wife, your children, your parents-in-law, and your sister-in-law. Welcome to Hebron in the Savior's precious name. Let's worship the Lord together as we sing 512. Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build thy house again. Sing that final verse again. Every verse is a a prayer to God. Every Christian should pray this prayer. Every preacher particularly should offer these verses to the Lord in true prayer. Enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with boundless charity divine, and so forth. Pastor Dennis Lyle is with us tonight. Good to have him. And as soon as we sing this verse, he will come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let's just bow together in prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing upon our coming together this evening. Eternal God, our loving Father, we still our hearts before Thee tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bless Thee that when we breathe that name in prayer, we have access into Thy holy presence, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And our Father, at the outset of our gathering tonight, we want to thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, that for that precious blood, that atoning sacrifice, that finished work. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that many of us in this building can say, we have no other argument, we want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. We thank Thee, our Father, that through death He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, that through death He satisfied the just claims of a holy God and opened a way back into the presence of God. And we rejoice tonight that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. We thank Thee, our Father, for one who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For one, our Father, who's taken the sting out of death, the dread out of the grave, and the gloom out of dying. We thank Thee for one tonight who lives in the power of an endless life, able to save to the very uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Remember our coming together this evening. Remember, Lord, Thy servant who will leave this place after his time here. And we pray, Lord, for Simon tonight that Thy blessing would rest upon him and his family in the days that lie ahead. We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy goodness to him during his time here. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt open a door for him in the days that lie ahead. We thank Thee for Thy word that reminds us, I have set before Thee an open door which no man can shut. And we pray, Lord, that in the days that lie ahead, he might know that he's in the center of Thy holy will. We pray for Thy servant tonight who will handle Thy word. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt grant to him a fresh endowment of the Spirit's power. And our Father, that the word of the Lord may come to us tonight, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we pray tonight for sinners in this great gathering who are still outside of Christ. Lord, do a work in their heart tonight. Draw them effectually to the Savior. Lord, bless Thy word to all our hearts this evening. We thank Thee for the opening words of our opening hymn. We pray, Lord, that You'll give us a burden, that You'll give us a concern, a compassion for the lost souls of men. Imprint upon our minds tonight, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Lord, at thy feet ourselves we cast. Help us run well for thee. Lord, be with us. May we know thy presence and power. We ask these mercies through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pastor Lyle, we've been praying for you in these days. We haven't been well. You've been in hospital. You're probably still recovering. And then more especially in times of grief, we've been remembering your dear wife and her family, the McIntyre family, and the home calling of William. We trust that the Lord will continue to give you grace to help in your time of need. We are delighted this evening to have Simon's sister-in-law, Kirsten McMullen. And Kirsten is going to come and bring a message and song just now. Thank you very much.
It's lovely to be with you tonight here to minister in song. I pray tonight that the songs will be an encouragement to your heart. And even just leave these words with you from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's not what I prayed for, it's not what I wanted, it's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing, I'm placing it all in your hands. Your ways are than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. So I'm gonna trust your work, your will in your time. Your ways are higher than I'm sure I will look back and marvel at how you knew best all along. You see from heaven, you know it's the hard times that make my faith steady and strong. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move, you want me to climb, so I'm gonna trust your work, your will and your time, your ways are higher than mine. When I start to doubt, help me be I
would expect that kind of noise. They're from South Armagh. So, Kirsten, nobody was shooting at you. Nobody was protesting at all. We haven't had that fault in that mic before, but there you go. We got the message, and that's good. God's ways are higher than our ways. And we thank the Lord for that wonderful passage in Isaiah 55. I want to bid you welcome in the Lord's great name to our service tonight. Any visitors that are with us, and especially Simon's family, welcome in the Savior's name, and those that are tuning in on the internet, whether it's through Sermon Audio, Facebook, or YouTube, you're welcome. Tomorrow, we do have a funeral service here at 12 noon. Our sister Nell Thompson passed away to be with the Lord on Thursday night, and we will have that service of thanksgiving for her at 12 noon tomorrow. Tomorrow night is a special night for Simon and his friend who graduate from the Whitfield College of the Bible, and that will take place in Bethany, Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. Now, the service will be broadcast live on Bethany's sermon audio page. It is by invitation only because of restrictions, but you can tune in, as I said, on sermon audio. Thursday night in Tandragee, at 8 o'clock, it's the retirement service for Miss Margaret Russell, who served the Lord in the land of Kenya for nearly 40 years, and she's home now. She's still doing a little bit of work for the mission board and for Kenya, but her official retirement is Tuesday night, and you are welcome to go. They believe they'll be able to fit everyone in that desires to be there. If you're not going to travel to Tandragee, but you want to be part of the meeting, it's also broadcast live from the Tandragee Church. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship is at 8 o'clock. It's the questions and answers. The panel will seek to do that. It's part two. We didn't get them finished last term. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock, and that will be on Zoom. We hope in October to be back in-house with some of these other prayer meetings. The Sabbath School, 10:30. The Bible class also at 10:30. And we're back here in the church with our children and young people. Worship service, 12 noon. We're going through the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel meeting at night at 7 o'clock, preceded by the time of prayer at 5:30. Just to mention that the recordings in Lurgan for Let the Bible Speak have been changed, and there will be no live audience. I want to thank those who put their names down to go on Monday week, but that's changed now. Sorry for any inconvenience. And I'll be going to preach to, you know, like we did before, to nobody, just to the pews in Lurgan. But pray for us as we do that. I want to thank you sincerely for your tithes and for your offerings to God's work. Just in a moment or two, we're going to give Simon an opportunity to greet you and to say whatever he wants, whatever is on his heart. But before that, there's a couple of wee presentations that we want to make, and we're going to ask our treasurer, Ivor Buick, to come forward, and then our Sunday School Superintendent, Wesley McCauley. Both these men have something to do. They may have something to say, and we'll leave it up to them. Thank you very much.
Simon Lindsay, can I ask you to come to the front, please? This is just a wee card I have here from the Minister Session Committee and Friends of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. This is a presentation. It's a copy of the scriptures, Lindsay, to you, and it's a preacher's Bible to you, Simon. It's just to show our appreciation for the ministry, the visitation and the phone calls to the people of Hebron this past 12 months. It has been a year of difference, as you know. You've spent quite a time on the phone, and then of late calling me different people, and I know the people in Hebron has really appreciated what you've done these past 12 months. So a wee verse, a couple of verses I want to leave with you. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. The verse I have written down here is verse 6. It says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And we know tomorrow night you'll be graduating, and as a congregation, want to congratulate on that. So as you head out into the ministry, the Lord's going to lead you, and if you put the Lord first in your life, He'll lead and he'll guide on the way that you should go. Lindsay, that's for you. Simon, and there's the card. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Well, there's three other very important people here tonight as well, and that is Naomi, Jemima, and Isaac. And I would like them just to come up to the front a wee minute too. And we've got Alyssa here from her Sunday school, and she is going to do a wee job for me once you all come up. So there we are. Now, these three were a very important part of, I know Simon was a very important part of our congregation during lockdown, but these three were as well, because they were very faithful members of our online Sunday school, and they entered all the competitions, and they really got involved in our Bible reading program as well. So we've got something here for you, and you just hand them over. That way we see you get them in the right order here. There's Naomi, first of all.
Thank you very much.
And then Jemima and Isaac. So you've got a copy of the Bible as well, and I hope that every time you open this Bible and you read it, that you'll remember not only the things that we learn, but you'll remember all the people in Hebron as well. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you very much.
Who's speaking on behalf of the children? Which one was elected to do that tonight? Do you want to have a wee chat among yourselves and see? I'm only kidding. Simon, we're delighted to have you, and we're going to ask you to come and speak to us now. Thank you.
Good evening, folks. It doesn't seem like a year from I first stood here at the front of the church here in Hebron. This meeting is what we could term somewhat a bittersweet occasion for us as a family. Sweet in the sense that the Lord has blessed us richly during our time here amongst you in Hebron. Yet it is tinged with sadness as we take our leave from you. Nevertheless, it's good to be here tonight and to have both Lindsay's and my parents with us in support of us, and Kirsten also to minister in song. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the verse 1, we read these well-known words: to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And when I was praying for a placement, I sought for a door of opportunity outside of my comfort zone, yet a place where I could come and feel very much at home. And never in my wildest imaginations did I ever expect to be placed here in Hebron in Ballymoney. However, my time in this place has left an indelible imprint, not only upon my life, but upon the lives of my family. The love, kindness, and compassion shown toward us has been beyond measure. Strange times are words that have been characteristic of these past 18 months. Coronavirus restrictions, lockdowns have been the order of the day. What did that mean with regard to the work of God here at Hebron? Well, change, of course, was inevitable and unavoidable. Nonetheless, the work of God continued. It was different as public meetings were suspended and moved online for a time. But nevertheless, the vision here amongst the oversight remained very clear. God's people, young and older, should be edified. The gospel preached to the lost and perishing, both locally here in the district and internationally across into India and Pakistan. Ecclesiastes 3, as we have read already in the first verse, it says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And as we read on down into verse 2 and following, we read, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn. All these experiences have been part and partial of our time here in Hebron. We wept with you when faithful stalwarts were called to their eternal reward. We rejoice with you when those new little lambs were born into the flock of God here in Hebron. And we pray with you that early in life they will come to know their parents' Saviour. I thank the Lord for placing his hand upon me, saving me as a boy of 8 years of age, his leading right through my life to this point, and then presenting me with this glorious opportunity amongst you for this past year. To the session and committee, we say thank you for all your instruction, support, and various opportunities throughout my time here. To Samuel, the team, all involved with the Youth Fellowship, speaking on behalf of the girls, we thank you for welcoming Naomi and Jemima. I know they have been eternally impacted as a result, with the added blessing, of course, of their baking skills improved. I don't think Lindsay and I will ever forget that evening as we sat in the living room and the girls were in the kitchen laughing and enjoying fellowship with young people they hardly even knew. But that connection was there in Christ. Such was the love shown toward them from the Youth Fellowship here in Hebron. To the congregation, you welcomed me into your homes virtually via the telephone and in person when that was safe to do so, with refreshments always on offer. It has been my privilege to get to know many of you in some small way throughout my time here. Those listening in online tonight who are unable to be with us in person, who I have been in regular contact with, we thank you too for your encouragement as we kept in touch throughout this past year. Last but by no means least, Mr. and Mrs. Park. To Mrs. Park for the generous hospitality regularly received. To Mr. Park for his faithful instruction and mentoring, for which we will be eternally grateful. There is much we could say with regard to the qualities which Mr. Park possesses. However, suffice to say, he's a man of many talents. A man with a heart of love, concern, and compassion for every one of you here tonight as his sheep, as part of the flock of God in Hebron. With all sincerity tonight, I say thank you to one and all. And as this season in our lives concludes and we take our leave from you, we covet your prayers for the days which lie ahead in the will of the Lord. As we continue to remember you, I conclude my remarks by echoing the words of the Apostle to the church at Philippi, Philippians 3, verses 2 through 5. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Amen.
Thank you, Simon, on behalf of everyone for your kind words tonight. Simon came to be our student assistant under very, very difficult circumstances. And that, of course, was COVID-19. And the virus brought a complete change to life in general for everyone and to life particularly for us in the church. In the middle of March 2020, visitation as we knew it came to an end for a period of time. And that changed things dramatically. We could not visit in hospitals. Even now it's difficult. Home visits were difficult. And church life was very strained. I remember those days coming into the building here when the congregation couldn't meet week after week just to empty pews. One of the most difficult times that any preacher has ever had to face. Simon, you came in the summer of last year officially to be our student assistant, and I don't think that we got to visit until October, if my memory is right and my records are right. The first visit was on the 7th of October, and you can correct me if you remember something different, but we went to see Mrs. Kearns, Dr. and Mrs. Kearns actually, and Mrs. Kearns was the only one able to come to the door on that occasion, and we just spoke at the door and introduced Simon to Mrs. Kearns. And that same day, we called with some of the seniors. I like to keep records. And we called with our sister Maud Graham, Isabel Mills, Margaret Carey, Maureen Conley, my parents-in-law, Peter Moy. And then I have on the list here, and I don't know how they get on to it, Joanna Borland and Rebecca Park. They don't look that old, but we did get to introduce Simon to them that day. And then we started to get around the congregation, the shut-ins and the seniors. I gave Simon a list of the seniors and the shut-ins, and he began to make phone calls. Those phone calls were really appreciated. And then when it was possible to make safe visits, he did that as well. And when able, Simon came on a Wednesday. That is a very suitable day for a student in final years, because Tuesday and Thursday are college days, and the one in between is kind of a free day. And so Wednesday it was for us, and he would have arrived at about 10 o'clock. It took an hour and a half or so traveling here. And we had good times of fellowship, times of conversation, the one with the other. We enjoyed our visits together, going out to the seniors, and we hoped that we were a blessing together. And we had humorous times as well. And we just trust that under God, that the session committee and congregation here has been the means of help and encouragement to you. You got to attend some of the session meetings, some of the committee meetings, and just to see in general how church life took place. I find Simon to be a very gracious young man, a godly young man, a caring individual. He had a burden for people, for the souls of men who were unconverted, and for the Lord's people generally. And we enjoyed his ministry those times that he came to preach here. And I believe, Simon, that you'll make an excellent pastor. Whatever it is that God will open up for you and bring you to, you'll make a good man of God where you go. And the church here will not forget you. We'll continue to pray for you as we have done for other students that have come our way. Just to remind you folks that there is a love offering tonight. All the loose offering tonight will go as a love offering to Simon. We're going to sing 520. So we say to Simon tonight, go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? You go like Christ and serve the Lord the way that Christ did when he was here on the earth. You'll not go far wrong. We'll sing this hymn together, please. Kirsten, you're going to come and sing to us once more. Thank you for coming tonight and being part of this special evening.
The Holy Ghost will.
Thank you very much, Kirsten, tonight. May this be an evening where we go through with God, a time for Simon to go through with God as he comes to the end of college days and begins anew, looks to the Lord for his future. And in the hearts and lives of people here this evening, go through with God, and you will enjoy God's very best. And that's what we want for all of you, the very best in the Christian life. We're turning in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Going to commence to read from verse 51, reading through to the end of the chapter. And the last verse is our text this evening, at least part of it. It's strange how much of what we're going to read here is to do with death. And then we have this exhortation at the end, therefore, my beloved brethren. So think about it in the context in which it's given. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless his word to every heart. We'll bow in prayer for a moment and commit our way to the Lord in the preaching of the word tonight. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank thee for tonight's meeting, for all that has taken place, for the gracious words of Simon, for the messages and song from Kirsten, the songs that we have sung tonight also that have been challenging, and now your word. And as we come to meditate just for a little time in the closing minutes of the service, Lord, come down in the power and the might of the Holy Ghost and work in every heart. And may there indeed be a going through with God, our vows to pay, and are all upon the altar lay. Lord, we pray that even though this meeting is special for Simon and the words for him particularly, we pray that you will speak to every heart, and may there be those indeed wrought upon by God. May sinners be saved, may backsliders be restored, may Christian people go through with God tonight, and may your name be honored, magnified, and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I thought about an appropriate word to give to you, Simon, this evening, as you set out in your ministry and we think about your future, my mind and my heart was drawn to what I've often called my text. This text has been with me since my student days in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And it's verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My family know that this text is particular to me. And a number of years ago, some of my children that were getting married, they got me cufflinks. I never wear cufflinks, but I wore them on the wedding day, and I've worn them tonight. And it has on it 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. On one of them, the reference, and on the other part of the text is quoted there. You have finished your college course in the Whitfield College, and your lecturers have given you the tools to do the work now in the future. And you've spent your final year with us here in Ballymoney, and we've had good times. And God will equip you with his Spirit as you look to him for power and for unction in his work. And many people will be praying for you. Your family will be praying for you. I know they love the Lord. And the congregation here will be praying for you. Your home congregation in Mullaghlass likewise. And many others throughout the Free Church family. In the wisdom and the providence of God, he will open to you an effectual door. Now you're blessed tonight. You have a wife and you have children who are behind you. And that's a great thing. And I trust and pray that God will give you elders and deacons that will stand with you in prayer and will encourage you every step of the way in your ministry. But what kind of preacher ought you to be? I know one that you ought not to be, and we read about him in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, and that's Jonah. Jonah was the disobedient, the reluctant, and I might say disgraceful prophet. Called of God, he ran in the opposite direction. And even when the Lord graciously stepped into his life through the storm and reissued the commission to go to Nineveh, that great city, whenever he went there and brought the message of God and the whole city was moved and turned to the Lord, he was angry about that. That's not the kind of a preacher that you want to be. So when you study Jonah, just pray, Lord, don't let me be like him. I believe that you ought to be, as the title is, the always abounding preacher. Now, here's a text for every believer. You're a Christian in this meeting tonight. Here's a word for you. Don't you miss it. But here is a special word for the preacher. And you are to be an example of the believers, Simon. And you want to be this abounding preacher. This is the kind of Christian each one of us should be. The always abounding Christian is one who is out and out for Christ. They have sold themselves to the gospel. They are spoilt for the world. They are living for the glory of God. They have a single eye to please the Lord. And they're walking in sweet communion with him. And they are serving the Lord with joy and gladness. They are steadfast. They are immovable. And they're always abounding in the work of the Lord. They have their heart and their hope set upon things which are above. And they're living in the light of that great day. The great day when we stand before Almighty God. And they are looking for and hastening unto the coming of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are abounding in love, in zeal, in holiness, in prayer. And no greater example could I draw your attention to tonight than Paul, the man that wrote these words. Paul was undoubtedly an abounding Christian. To this man, God revealed himself in a remarkable way. And he does, as he does to every abounding Christian. Paul was a man who received extraordinary visions from God. Now, God doesn't speak any longer through the visions and through the dreams. He did in Old Testament times and New Testament times. He has chosen in these last days to speak through his Son and to speak through his Word. But here's a man who was spoken to by the Lord in those wonderful visions that were given to him. And as far as having these visions, it's just the same. Paul had a vision of the person of Christ. That's where it began with him. We think of his conversion story in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3-6. And he saw the Lord above the brightness of the sun. He saw Jesus Christ in all his splendor and all his majesty, and he got his eyes upon the person of Christ. And then he had a vision for the people of Christ. I would love to turn to these references, but we haven't time. So I'll mention these visions. I'll give you the reference. And Simon, sometime you can look them up for yourself. But Acts 16 and verse 9. He had a vision of the presence of Christ. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. He had a vision of the pathway of Christ. Acts 22 and verse 18. He had a vision of the purpose of Christ. Acts 23, verse 11. He had a vision of the protection of Christ. Acts 27 and verse 22 to 25. And then he had a vision of the paradise of Christ in 2 Corinthians 12, the opening four verses where he speaks about being caught up into paradise. God comes near and he communes with the abounding Christian. Paul was a man of joy, a man of courage, a man of steadfastness, a man of endurance, a man of zeal and patience and love. And nothing was too much trouble for the great apostle. He always went the second mile. You want to be a second mile Christian. In fact, Paul went the third mile, the fourth mile, the fifth mile, and so forth. He labored tirelessly. He made it his business to exalt and to magnify the Savior. And this is the kind of Christian that all of us should be. The abounding Christian, always abounding. We must keep up the work. We must refuse to give up. We must resist the temptation to slacken. We need an old-fashioned baptism of stickability, keeping at it. And we're praying for you, Simon, that this will be the kind of Christian minister in the place of God's choosing as God opens up the door for you. Now, very quickly, there's a few things I want to say about how you ought to abound as a preacher. First of all, abounding in your preaching. First and foremost, God has made you a preacher of the word. This is your great calling. This is the most important assignment that is given to you. Oh, yes, you are to care for the flock of God. You are to visit them when they are in need. You are to counsel them when they need direction in life. You are to be a man given to prayer and to supplication. We'll come to that in a moment or two. But your number one calling is preaching. You need to feed the flock of God in the place where God appoints you, whether it's to a handful of people or to a great assembly of people. When this great apostle came towards the end of his ministry and he's ready for the martyr's death, he writes his final epistle to the young minister, Timothy, his friend and his colleague. And he gives him, you remember, the solemn charge before the very presence of God and in light of the great judgment day. And this was his solemn exhortation. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Simon, this means study. Your study days are not over. I'm sure you're glad to get the student study days over, but your study days, in a real sense, are just beginning. It means getting alone with God as you prepare your heart. And you must receive a message from him and preach for results. Do not be content that after your preaching, nothing happens. You make sure that you preach that God Almighty will do something through his word in the hearts of those that listen. And you preach with a passion in your soul. And you learn to plead with the people that you minister unto. Give your all as if everything depended upon you. I think it was the great C.H. Spurgeon who said that he preached knowing that everything depended upon God, but he preached as if everything depended upon him. Preach as a dying man. This is what Richard Baxter, the Reformed pastor, said. I preach as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men. And so you preach every time as if it was the last time you would preach a sermon. Be the best preacher that you can possibly be. God's ambassadors are preeminently preachers. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. And that's what the disciples did in obedience to Christ. Peter and the other men had the anointing of God. They were filled with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And where did the Holy Spirit lead them? What did the Spirit prompt them to do? To preach. And what happened? What did the Spirit do that day through the preaching? Well, thousands of people were converted to Christ. And this is the great means of bringing sinners unto the Savior through the foolishness of preaching. We must use every available, legitimate means possible to bring those around us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Paul spoke about the all means, didn't he? I am made all things unto all men, that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22. Win them by your example. Win them by your love. Win them by your kindness. Win them by your practical deeds. Win them by your persistence. But this must never, ever be at the expense of God's word. It must be preeminent. How shall they hear without a preacher? It's God's way. The Westminster Directory of Public Worship has a significant section on the preaching of the word. And it begins by stressing the spiritual importance of preaching and repeating words of Scripture, and to know that that is the power of God unto salvation. We still believe in preaching the gospel. We still believe that it is the power of God unto salvation. Never forget this. Preaching is still God's appointed means of communicating his mind and his will to sinners. Jesus Christ himself was preeminently a preacher, and so was Peter, and so was Paul, and so were the other apostles. Luther and Calvin rejoiced in the revival of preaching in their day. George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones were all great preachers. And this is the means that God blesses. This is the means that God uses in his great sovereign purposes. Do not stoop to think that there's a better way, that there's a more up-to-date method in reaching the lost. It's only in these past 40 years or so that we find the centrality of preaching diminishing. Music has taken over. Entertainment is to the fore. Other things are creeping in and becoming dominant in church life. Sermons have become shorter. Evening services have disappeared. Missions are becoming fewer. Christianity is becoming shallower. And some churches have really turned into social clubs. Oh, let me remind you that preaching must always be the most important aspect of any true Bible-believing New Testament church. One of the central acts of worship is the hearing of the word, and that word that is proclaimed. John Calvin said that where the word is not preached and heard, there is no church. To be the body of Christ and to worship God, we need preaching. And that's how important it is. You need time to prepare, Simon. A preacher who does not take time or has time to prepare in his study is not faithful to his calling. John is stoked in his book For Preachers Between Two Worlds suggests that the preacher needs at least 12 hours to prepare a sermon. Preachers must therefore take time in the study before God, and congregations must give their preachers time for study. So therefore, I'm saying to you tonight, Simon, abound in your preaching. Then very quickly, secondly, abound in your prayers or in your praying. The man in the pulpit must be a man who knows God intimately at the throne of heavenly grace, knows how to lay hold upon the Almighty. A man who, like wrestling Jacob, has power with God and power with man. And it will always be in that order. You will never have power and persuasion with men until you first have power with God. And you get that in the place of prayer. You will get your sermons on your knees. You will intercede for your congregation in the secret place. You must become a pleader in the courts of heaven. There at the mercy seat, you will meet with God, friend with friend. You will bring him your cares. You will lay your burdens at his feet. You will call upon God in the day of trouble. Every true Christian ought to be a man or a woman of prayer. This ought to characterize the testimony of every true child of God. Jesus told his disciples, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we are living in the fainting age, aren't we? Some professing Christians have neglected the place of prayer. At best, it is a rushed 5 minutes in the morning, and it is a short benediction at night. And you will never get to know God this way. You will never have power with God until you learn to wrestle with God in the place of prayer. There are Christians who have forsaken the prayer meeting of the church. No wonder the church is in such a sad state of disrepair. Now, I'm speaking generally. I'm not speaking about Hebron. Hebron still has a strong band of prayer warriors. But the world is rushing to hell, my friends. And few there are who care. Loved ones are standing on the very precipice of a lost eternity. And where are the pleas? Where are the cries? Where are the tears? Oh, there's a deafening silence. How can Christians watch daily as their family members live in sin, rebel against God, reject his blessed Son, and rush headlong towards their own destruction, and never be at a prayer meeting to cry unto God for them? I just don't understand it. Well, there's room for everything else, isn't there? Room for pleasure, and room for business, and room for entertainment, and room for Facebook, and room for feasting, and room for a lot of nonsense, but no room for prayer. God have mercy upon us, and God forgive us, and God awaken us, and stir our hearts, and drive us to our knees before it is forever too late. You know the times of the greatest blessing in the church, when God's people have walked in holiness and in obedience and in the fear of the Lord and were steadfast in their witness and prayers, were those times when God came sweeping in and brought his people to pray. I recall those prayer meetings of power, the sincerity, the fervency, the earnestness, the pleading, the tears, the sighs, the groans of God's people in the place of prayer. Oh, Simon, I say to you this evening, as a Christian minister, you must abound in prayer if you're going to see success in your ministry. And I speak to my own heart tonight as well. And I challenge my dear congregation also. Abounding in your preaching, abounding in your prayers, your praying, abounding in your passion for souls. And this is my final main point, really. You want to be a gospel preaching minister. You want to be a winner of precious souls to Christ. You want to be an evangelist with a burning passion in your heart for the lost and perishing. Souls are drifting downward. Every day across the face of this world, 150,000 souls pass into eternity, and the vast majority do so without a Savior. Our hearts ought to be melted. What are we doing to win the teeming multitudes to Christ? Albert Benjamin Simpson, who died about 100 years ago, was a Canadian preacher, theologian, author, and he was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He was raised as a strict Calvinistic Scottish Presbyterian and from a Puritan tradition. His conversion to Christ began under the ministry of Henry Grattan Guinness, a visiting evangelist from Ireland, during the 1859 revival. After a faithful ministry in several large Presbyterian churches, he resigned in order to become or to begin an independent gospel ministry to the many new immigrants and the neglected masses of New York City. He had a passion for souls, a passion for evangelism, a passion for worldwide missions. And he wrote a very challenging hymn. Let me quote two verses. 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one away in Christless guilt and gloom. Without one ray of hope or light, with future dark as endless night, they're passing to their doom. They're passing to their doom. They're passing fast away, 100,000 souls a day in Christless guilt and gloom. O Church of Christ, what wilt thou say when in the awful judgment day they charge thee with their doom? They charge thee with their doom. You don't want your hands, any one of you, and Simon especially as a preacher, you don't want your hands dripping with the blood of the souls of such individuals. You want to pray as David prayed, deliver me, O God, from blood guiltiness. You want to make sure that you have discharged your ministry as a Christian, as a preacher, faithfully to the Lord and to the souls of men. You want to live with the judgment of God before you. You want to live with eternity's values in view. You want to live in the light of that great day when you give an account. You want to live with that great hour of accountability before your eyes. Oh, may God grant us a passion for souls. Simon, may God give you that passion for souls from day one in your ministry, wherever the Lord opens the door. You want to be an abounding preacher, abounding in preaching, abounding in prayer, abounding in your passion for souls. And there's much more that I could say tonight. We could say about abounding in your purity of life, to live a holy life before your family and before your congregation, that's important. And abounding in the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to know the anointing of the Spirit of God every day upon your ministry. May God help you, Simon, to be that always abounding preacher for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word. Thank thee for these words of the apostle that he penned all those years ago. And we know that Paul was all this. He was an abounding preacher. Thank thee for the way that you used him, for the souls that were converted under his ministry, for the churches that were established too, for his great missionary endeavor. We thank you, Lord, for the way that he lived, the way that he pleaded with souls, the way that he discharged his duty faithfully to men and women that sat beneath the word as he proclaimed it. Lord, help us to be like him in these things. Help us, Lord, to be that always abounding Christian. Speak to every heart. Oh, Lord, here's a word for us all. And Lord, we pray that Simon, by the grace of God, as he begins his ministry, as he enters through the door that God opens to him, that effectual door, that he will be an abounding preacher and a great example. We believe that he will be. Oh, God, fill him tonight with God the Holy Spirit and make him an able minister of the New Testament. Lord, for any tonight in this meeting that are strangers to your grace, who do not know the Lord, oh, God, they've never come to that place where they've begun to abound, save them tonight. Lord, reach down your arm of salvation and pluck them as brands from the burning. Don't let them go on any longer in sin, rejecting Christ, trampling beneath their feet your blood and your mercy. Lord, stop them in their tracks and bring them to the feet of the Savior. And may they be saved this very night for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a hymn that we want to sing in closing. That's appropriate for tonight. It's a prayer, Simon, for you. Congregation will sing this prayer together. And as we sing it, just at the end of it, we want you to come up, Simon, to the front. We'll have a word of prayer with you. We'll ask our elders to join us tonight as well. As you know, our clerk of session can't be here this evening. Phil is preaching elsewhere. He apologizes for that. But the other elders are here, and we will pray with you and for you. Father of mercies, condescend to hear our fervent prayer, while this our brother we commend to thy paternal care. Let's stand on our feet.
Mother of mercies, Father, save.
final verse, verse 4, if our elders would come forward, and the Reverend Stewart's here tonight, if he would come forward too, if he doesn't mind. He's very much part of our congregation, an ordained minister of the gospel, and I know that he'll be praying for you too, Simon. And Simon, you can join us at the front also. Thank you. Two of our brethren, two of our elders are going to lead in a wee word of prayer and just commit Simon to the Lord. Thank you.
Heavenly Father and eternal God, we give thee thanks for all that has taken place tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the praise that we have been able to sing to thy precious name. We thank thee, Lord, for the prayers that have been offered to thee this evening and for the ministry and song, Lord, we give thee thanks. But above all, Lord, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for the exhortation that our pastor has given from thy word this evening. And, O Lord, we pray for Simon. We thank thee for this occasion when we can mark the end of his ministry here in Hebron and the beginning of a new chapter in his ministry. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt be with him. Lord, we pray for whatever congregation thou would call him to, that thou wilt make him a blessing to them, and, O Lord, that they might be a blessing to him also. We ask, O God, that every time he enters the pulpit, you will fill him afresh with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, give him that fresh anointment each time as he comes to preach thy word. And, O Lord, we pray that thou might make him that abounding preacher, that thou wilt make him a winner of souls. And, O Lord, we pray that as when we gather on that great day before thy throne, Lord, we'll meet many who have come to Christ through the ministry of our brother Simon. So, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless him, but not only him, but we pray for Lindsay, for Naomi, for Jemima, and for Isaac. O Lord, that thou wilt be with them, and Lord, whatever changes they might encounter as this new chapter opens up for them, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them and guide them and direct them. So, Lord, we leave all these things with thee tonight, knowing that we can place our brother in thy hands, and, Lord, that thou wilt be unto him all that he needs and do him good, for we ask it for thy name's sake. Amen.
Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for the privilege it is even to bow in thy presence here tonight. Amen. We thank you for this special service. We thank you, Lord, for thy precious word to our hearts. We thank you for the ministry and song, and, Lord, even the relevance of those words, Lord, that we heard tonight from Kirsten. We thank you for help given there. Amen. And, O God, we thank you, Lord, for even this verse in Corinthians that we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And, O Lord, it's a special word to our brother tonight, but it's a word to each one of our hearts. And, O God, we pray for Simon. We thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, for the day that you saved him. We thank you for the day that you called him into the ministry. And, O Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the gifts and the talents that we have seen even here in Ballymoney. We thank you, Lord, for his love for the people. We thank you, Lord, that the love he has for his Savior is very evident in the love that he has for the flock. And, O God, we just pray for Lindsay. We pray, Lord, for the children as well. Yes, we pray, Lord, that you will bless each one. We pray for Naomi. We pray for Jemima. And we pray for wee Isaac as well. Amen. We pray, Lord, that they will grow up to know their mother's Savior and their father's God. Amen. And, O Lord, that they will even be drawn closer to their Savior. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this family. We thank you, Lord, even for the two families that are represented here tonight. We thank you for the encouragement they have been to Simon. We pray, Lord, now, Lord, as he goes into a new chapter of his life, Lord, you'll go before him. Amen. You'll pray. We pray, Lord, that you'll prepare the way, and even, Lord, that even he would be led to the church of thy choosing. Oh, yes, God, bless even the work. We pray, Lord, you'll prepare hearts even before him. And, oh, Lord, that you'll give him much fruit for his ministry. Amen. We pray, Lord, that you'll pour thy Spirit upon him. And, oh, Lord, that even he will be able to see many souls swept into the kingdom. We pray even tonight in this meeting, Lord, for those that would be gathered here that are still not saved. We pray, Lord, that you'll even speak to souls. We pray, Lord, what even an end to this meeting it would be to see someone come and place their trust in thee. So, Lord, we leave this before thee. We thank you. We come to a mighty God who hears and answers prayer. Bless us, do us good, and we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in thy name we ask it.
Amen. 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 And everybody say it.
Amen.
You may be seated. And we'll ask Simon to come to the door. And Lindsay and your wee family, if you want to come to the door too, we can stand at a distance and folks can just greet you as they walk past. Thank you very much.